In the evening services, we meditate upon Jesus in different dimensions. In this evening, we are going to meditate on Jesus the Gracious. What is grace? When the world hears amazing grace, what do they think it means? Is it just a funeral dirge to be played by the bagpipers? What is the source of grace? I just put this from the dictionary. Grace is unmerited favor. It's true, but a huge generalization, isn't it? And someone says, grace, this is lovely actually. It's not a dictionary word, but grace, God's riches at Christ's expenses. Obviously, isn't it? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expenses. So we're going to meditate Jesus the Gracious this evening. Before we going to sing the first hymn, I would like to have the first reading, which is from Acts chapter 15, verses 7 to 11. All right. I thought I can use your hand mic. Do you want this one? Okay.
It's on page 1110. That's right. 7 to 11. Okay. Verses 7 to 11. Acts 1. The council at Jerusalem. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear. No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are.
Thank you, Mr. Anne. And if you see the verse 11 in Acts chapter 15, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. This seems to be an answer to an objection. Has not God designed to save us, the Jews, by an observance of the law? And them, the Gentiles, by the faith of the gospel? If you read the verse 11, so we believe. Who are that we? Who are circumcised? The apostles who have been with them and have seen the evidences of their acceptance with God. Then we read that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So not through circumcision or by any works of the law, a moral or ceremonial, but through the grace of Christ. Salvation is by Christ. The Father appointed Christ for the salvation plan. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, and he came to save us, the sinners. And he has obtained salvation for us. So it is in him and in no other. And this salvation is by the grace of Christ. So it was grace moved Christ to engage in this work before the world began. So it was goodwill to men and women that caused Christ to come down from heaven and appear on this earth in the form of a servant. So it was a pure love that influenced him to lay down his life for us. So through the grace in his heart, he did all this for us. And it is the fullness of grace in his hands, out of which we receive in abundance. So whereby we are entitled to or made meet for the eternal glory. So the good news for us this evening is that we are worshipping that loving God, the Father, and his gracious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Let us all rise up and sing the wonderful grace of Jesus.
Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall his grace begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus, Jesus, deeper than the mighty blue sea, than the mountains, greater than the scope of my transgression, is greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches. Jesus, deeper than the mighty Lord of sea, pardon the mountains, pray like a fountain, for sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Can we have the second reading? John chapter 1, verses 14 to 18.
And in the Church Bible, it's page 1063. John 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side and has made him known.
Thank you, Ruth. So if we see John chapter 1, verse 14, this is an amplified version which I have put on the slide here. And the Word, which is Christ, became flesh, which is human incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we saw his glory, his honor, and his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, which is a favor and loving kindness and truth. So if you see in John chapter 1, verse 14, it summarizes the entire book of John, and as such is a focal point of this gospel, God in flesh, the divinity and the humanity, indivisible and incomprehensible, but full of truth. Believe it and live forever. That's what we should be doing it. We saw last year in the evening services that Jesus, the Messiah, was being pointed to from the very beginning of the Bible in the Old Testament. We saw God's grace extended to Adam and Eve with animal skins for covering after they had sinned. And then we saw God's gift of the law for guidance. And then we saw the Lord leading his rebellious and stiff-necked people through the desert, providing food for them, giving them protection from enemies, leading them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And then later, the Lord sending prophets to keep Israel from falling into pagan idolatry and other treacherous sins. When you come to the New Testament is fully saturated with Jesus like a sponge that is so filled that it cannot behold one more drop. It's full of Jesus. And in the New Testament, we see the greatest gift of grace for everyone, sending his one and only Son to show us the way to God the Father and to pay the penalty for our sins. So the whole world has been covered with the washing of the grace of God from creation and will continue to be covered with the washing of the grace of God until the end time. So in the same way, we see God's grace extended to humanity from the very beginning of the Bible to the very last verse of the Bible. Whether you see God at work is irrelevant to the fact of his presence in our world. He is actually and intimately involved in both the affairs of this world and the details of our life. So we see God's grace at work in the world among us. How does this grace work in our individual lives? God is after you. How did we first meet Jesus in our life? How did we first know about Jesus? Was it through family member, Sunday school teacher? It could be a pastor. Could be through the Bible. Could be through the co-worker or classmate, TV, radio, or computer. There could be many other ways. Were you first made aware of the presence of the God by nature? Actually, we didn't know he was after us. I was discussing with Amuda yesterday, or I think last evening or the 2 days before, and she was telling like, God has already designed her life. He put many people in her life so that she would know and she would come to Lord. So God was after her so that he put many people in her life. It's the same way. God is after us. It could be through many different ways we know the Lord. So it was God's grace alone that was calling you and me. We'll sing the next song, Jesus, a Lover of My Soul. If you can, please rise up. Brian, do you mind increasing the volume a little bit? Volume a little bit. On the left? No, on the PA desk. It's laptop. The next Bible reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. It's on the projector screen. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every word here is significant. It is very unusual in the New Testament to find the expression grace applied to Jesus Christ. We always see by the grace of our God. So unfamiliar to see the grace mentioning towards Jesus Christ. Except in the familiar benediction, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So except in one or two occasions, is not being said in the New Testament, which is directly pointing towards the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace. But it is the grace of God which, through the New Testament, is a prevailing expression. But here, grace is attributed to Jesus. That is to say, the love of the divine heart is without qualification or hesitation ascribed to him. And what do we mean by grace? We mean love in exercise to inferiors. His love stoops when it embraces. Grace is love that expresses itself to those who deserve something else. Grace is love that, stooping and forgiving, communicates its whole self to the unworthy and transgressing recipients. And the key to the life of Jesus is that we have set forth in his operation a love which is not content to speak the ordinary language of human affection or to do its ordinary deeds, but is self-impelled to impart what transcends to all other gifts of human tenderness and to give its very self. And if you see in this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, he was, he became. That is one strange contrast. Again, he was rich, he became poor. That is another. So he was, he became. What does that say? It says that if you won't understand Bethlehem, you must go back to a time before Bethlehem. Well, 2 weeks ago in the morning service, we did hear about the manifestation of the God's glory well before the time by rewinding all the timed events. So the meaning of Christ's birth is only understood when we turn to the evangelist who doesn't narrate it. For the meaning of it is here: the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Actually, the surface of the fact is the smallest of the fact. They say that there is 7 times as much of an iceberg under the water as there is above the surface. So, the deepest and the most important fact about the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ is that it was not only the birth of an infant, but the incarnation of the Word. He was, he became. So we have to travel back and recognize that life did not begin in the manger. We have to travel back and recognize the mystery of the godliness, God manifest in the flesh. And these two words, he was, he became, imply another thing, and that is that Jesus Christ, who died because he chose, was not passive in his being born, but as at the end of his earthly life, so at its beginning exercised his volition and was born because he willed, and willed because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we enter into this, the Holy Communion table, we will sing this song, "Just As I Am." Because of his love and grace, we are now here. We will surrender ourselves to God just as we are. We'll rise up and sing this song, "Just As I Am."
About
with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God,
be seated. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is an open invitation to the Lord's communion table, which is spread for us for our feast. Bread is a symbol of his life broken, and wine is a symbol of his blood poured out. So these are the signs of his love and hospitality. He is not dead. He is risen. And he is present among us. So this is the evidence of God's covenant and promise. So we come in faith to this holy sacrament table. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread, and he had given thanks, and he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you and me. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often you drink in remembrance of me. For as often you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. We shall eat the bread individually once we received it, and we'll have enough the prayer for the bread and wine.
We just thank you for this amazing grace that you've given us. Lord, we know, Lord, that we can never understand that fully. Lord, even now we may try to explain it to people, but Lord, we know, Lord, that's just unexplainable. Lord, we know, Lord, it's what you've given to us freely, Lord, out of your amazing love. Lord, it's not because of what we've earned and merited and what we gained. But we just thank you, Lord, that we can come to this table to remind you of this amazing grace, that when we look at this blood and this bread that reminds us of the body, and the wine that reminds us of the blood that was shed for us on that cross. We thank you, Lord, that you died on that cross to save us from our sins, and that we be able to give thanks to you for what you did for us. We know, Lord, that you not only died on that cross, but we thank you that you have been raised to life on that third day. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that how you've given this wonderful gift, salvation. Amen.
Amen. Let us sing these next verses of the song, Just I Am, in the attitude of prayer while we are sitting. Supper and said, "This cup is a new covenant, sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." We shall drink the wine together after everyone received the cup. Let us all drink together now. Let us do the prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for Lord Jesus' life and ministry, announcing the good news of your kingdom and demonstrating its power in the lifting of the downtrodden and the healing of the sick and the loving of the loveless. We thank you for his sacrificial death upon the cross for the redemption of the world, and for you raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory we shall share. Amen. Now this is the time to pray for our church fellowship. Especially we pray for the family of the Teresa Bona who are in the bereavement time. One of you could pray for the family.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the life you have given to Teresa, and she has lived here in the fullness of your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, that she knew me, and thank you for calling her. And at this moment of bereavement, Lord, we commit all her sons, daughters, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, the whole family into your mighty hand. Lord, please provide them your strength and your peace and your comfort that the world cannot offer. Lord, be with them and give them the knowledge of Christ. And we pray for the family during this bereavement period and during the funeral and the rest of the proceedings, Lord, let them come and know me more.
Amen. And you can think of people in your individual prayers whose names are mentioned in the impact prayer sheet. And few notices. On the 10th of March, we have International Women's Day. So do pray for that event, so that God would touch many people who are able to attend this event. And I don't think any other notices. Let's have the next Bible reading, which is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17.
Timothy 1, verses 12 to 17. The Lord's grace to Paul. It's on page 1191. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Shall we rise up and sing the song Immortal and Invisible?
A silent as night, no wanting, no wasting, the rulest in might. The justice like mountains is soaring above. Thy glory is mountains of goodness and love. To all life God giveth, to both creatures known. In all life God giveth, thus to life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and linger and perish and not change a in glory, thou rulest in light, when angels adore thee, all yet in their sight, all blessing or anger, oh help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light here in thee.
Please be seated, and we'll have now the offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, the provisions you have given us. Lord, we bring back a very little portion of the providence you have given us, Lord. Bless this money and use this for the extension of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next reading
Hebrews 4, and the Church Bible is 1203. Hebrews 4, beginning at verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just like we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Amen. Thank you, Ruth. As we heard now, by his mercy and grace, which would help us to approach God's throne of grace with confidence. By his immense grace and mercy, we partook in this Holy Communion table. We never become a source of grace. The Lord alone is the only source of grace, but we should become channels of grace. We should be sharing the grace of God with unbelievers as witnesses, letting the grace of God flow through us so that they can come to know Lord Jesus. That's why we are organizing many outreaching events like International Women's Day, letting people to know the grace of God through us. We should be sharing the grace of the Lord with fellow believers, encouraging them onward in their walk with Jesus. How do we do all these things? What does the scripture tell us? We know the salvation is found through Christ alone. What did Christ alone bring to us? He brought us a salvation that is found through the powerful, ever-working, mighty grace of God alone. Do we know that grace? I love the way the Amazing Grace puts it. "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and the grace my fears relieved. If we have an anxious of what lies ahead of us after this life is over, we can get rid of that anxiety and fear at any time by placing our faith and trust in Christ alone for eternal life. That grace comes to us from Christ today. And we are saved. But if you are not growing in faith, what does that saving mean? God's sanctifying grace can help us become growing and vibrant Christ follower. Are you and me a channel for the grace of Jesus? Is Jesus flowing into and through you to others who so desperately need the grace of God? This is not something you and me can or should keep to ourselves. We need to be a light for this world.